Welcome to the Observer Food Monthly podcast, a series of five Italian recipes from Giorgio Locatelli, sponsored by Seeds of Change.
Your mum said, don't play with your food. We say, why not? Food isn't something that just gets shoveled in your mouth. It isn't proteins, carbohydrates and fats. Food is pleasure, art, adventure. We are Seeds of Change. We make organic pastas, soups and sauces. And we say, play with your food. Play all you like. And here's something to help inspire you.
We're back with Giorgio Locatelli for the next Observer Food Monthly magazine podcast. Giorgio is going to give us an exclusive recipe. It's a monkfish with walnut sauce and capers.
It's not that exclusive. We must have cooked it like 3 million times in a restaurant. But I'm very happy to give you the recipe. Alors, monkfish. Monkfish is one of the ugliest fish that you can ever find. It's got a massive head, which usually counts for two-thirds of the weight of the old fish. And all we actually see in the market is always the tail. The tail, what is the good thing about monkfish is that there is only one central spine bone. And there is no other little bones or any or cartilage or anything like that. So that, let's say, is the right fish to start somebody with, because it's got also a very nice flavor. Monkfish, you know, when you take off the central bone, that's it, there's nothing left. The most important thing is to ask your fishmonger to peel it, because when you will see it in on a fish counter, it has a very dark skin. And so the skin usually is peeled out, just pulled out, and the fishmonger does it for you. I would suggest all the time not to let, because it's such a simple operation, not to let the fishmonger take the bones off, but do it at home, because it's very straight, and you know, as long as you have a sharp knife, you're running across and that's it. And the reason is because, of course, more you take away thing, more you the bone, you keep your fillet, the more the flavor of the fish just becomes less and less. So to keep it all together. So what we're going to do is that we're going to season it. As you can see, as you can hear it, you know, we have a quite large piece, so the seasoning must be nice and heavy, because you know you're seasoning only the outside, but you want it to be going all the way through. And also, what it will do to have nice and lot of salt and pepper around it, well, it'll help it to crust much better. It is very, very important not to season it 1 hour before, but right at the moment that you go, because right at the moment that you are ready to cook. So you put your pan on the fire with a touch of little bit of oil in it, and then you season it. So then when you're finished the seasoning, you're ready to put it in the pan, because the seasoning, especially the salt, would extract a lot of the juices, and you don't want that. You want it to be a really nice piece of juicy fish, okay?
So you've got quite a lot of pepper and salt on there.
Yeah, quite a lot. It's a big piece of fish, yeah?
Yeah. You picked it up and turned it round and put pepper on every single
rolling,
side.
Keep it rolling around. If you have a round sort of a round shape, you're going to get a consistent cooking all the way through. Okay, the pan is smoking. We give him a little bit of oil, just a touch. So it is quite important to have a non-stick pan, a new one as well, if it's possible. And you know, and if you keep your non-stick pan at all to cook things like that fast and with a high heat, and you never sort of scratch them with a heavy sponge or things like that. I mean, they last years, literally. So it is worth sometimes to make the effort to buy one new one every year or so, because otherwise you end up eating the Teflon yourself. And this is I think you should try to avoid that. Okay, so we got as you can see, it's a smoking point, and we're going to really want this, you know, this again is cooking by not only looking and tasting, but you know, you can hear it going in it. So we need that kind of aggressiveness, you know, so then we achieve like a crusty outside. We try to get a reaction de Maillard, so I think all the protein inside, which are the sugary part of it, will travel towards the outside because of the heat and will caramelize. And so we'll have a natural caramelization without adding any sugars on it. Okay, so when you're doing these, the best thing is not to do anything, but just look at it and, you know, make sure that you controlling the fire, that you don't set the whole place on fire. You have to be really careful if you use like a large pan and to use a very little oil. And when you place your fish in there, don't chuck it in, because if the oil is very hot, it will go and pick on fire on the corner. So that's a very important thing to do. And regulating the fire as you're going. Very hot at the start, then you start to turn it down a bit again, and we reheat it again to the maximum after. You know, it's quite important not to touch it as well. Because if you start to mess about and touch it, what's going to happen is that, you know, it's going to be, it's not going to be so beautifully glazed. And so that's what we want to do. On the main time, I put the oven on 180 to 200 degrees, and that is ready, because it's not the cooking that we will apply to this is not enough to cook you all the way through. So we sear the outside, then we pass it in the oven for a couple of minutes, then we take it out, and we rest it for a minute and then serve it. There you are. See? Got a beautiful color. Okay. As you can see, the fish had a kind of like a very soft sort of look, you know, like a bouncy. More it cooks, more hard it gets. Okay, and you can see already how it's getting harder. Okay.
And you've added a splash more olive oil.
I did add, yes, that's the idea. Then, in order to keep the temperature up, you know, add a bit of olive oil, and so then you will keep the temperature of the pan up. Yeah.
Just okay. Making sure really that every surface,
every part of it, our starch and is all done. We're going to turn it down a little bit, add a little touch of olive oil on top, like that, and we're going to go in the oven straight on. In the meantime, we prepare a bit in the oven. Okay. For a piece of fish out there, then is about like 220 grams, which is about 12, 14 ounces. I would say about 3 minutes in there. Don't forget, and if you cook for 6 or 8, that 3 minutes will become straight away 4 or 5. Most important thing is that you keep an eye on it, then as soon as, don't let it boil. As soon as you see it, then it starts to release its juices, then it means, and you know, you're already too late.
The Seeds of Change Photography Competition in association with the Observer Food Monthly magazine. Go to observer.co.uk/seeds of change to find out more.
On the meantime, we have prepared some Swiss chard. Then they are right in season now. And they're right in season in the spring, end of the spring, which is the perfect season for the monkfish to, you know, it's in season to be eaten. Okay. And we'll take the Swiss chard, we blanch them on a hole, and then we take the white bit, cut it down in stick, and the green, we just left it in leaves. Okay? The old things will get put in a pan with a touch of olive oil, salt and pepper, and we just warm it up.
So when you've blanched the chard, you've taken off the stalks, is that right? And then just put them in separately?
You take the stalk off, you blanch the leaf, then you blanch the stalk, and then you peel the stalk and just cut it down in little bits. And on the other end, okay, we have prepared, and this is something that we prepare on a yearly basis. And so when the walnuts have been picked in September, in October or November, we have a old friends then has a walnut orchard, and we buy about 10, 20 sack, depends, of fresh walnuts. Then we crack them all, we peel them, and then we make a pesto out of that, which doesn't contain anything else but olive oil and walnuts. Okay, this is stored away, this is put in jars, and then it's stored away in the fridge downstairs. What happens then, on a daily basis, we get a bit of this mixture of walnuts, we add a touch of salt, pepper, and some capers. Capers, then they've been passed into a mouli. Just, you know, like normal capers in brine, okay? Then you take them from the brine, you t- taste them before, because sometimes they're very salty, sometimes a bit less salty. So give them a taste to see, you know, you want it, but not too sharp on the salt. And if that is the case, that you find them very, very strong, what you have to do is to just wash them under water for a minute. Any capers is good. It's not a big deal. You know, it's clearly, you know, the conoscenti will see the difference. But, you know, think about it, and you're using sugar, you're using vinegar, you mix it with the walnut. So, it's not, you know, it isn't, you're mixing up the flavor as well. So I would suggest that any capers under salt on the shelves of the supermarket should be okay with that. Wash them very truly very well, and then you pass it on the food processor or the moulis if you don't have it, or otherwise you chop them down with the knife. You mix the caper with the walnuts, olive oil, salt, pepper, touch of vinegar. If you need a bit of sugar, you can put a bit of sugar, but some, it depends really on the walnuts. Like, these walnuts were very, very sweet, so we didn't need any.
What sort of proportion when you make it, when you make the walnut paste?
2 to 1. So, 2 walnuts and 1 of capers. And then you mix it together. I'll go and give him a check to my fish. It's about 2 minutes and it's been in there. I'm taking it out. I'll push with my fingers on it. You know, there's no juices coming out, and it's responding very well. So it's kind of like bouncing back to me. Okay, so I will wait. I'll give him a couple of seconds more, and then we go. Don't forget, and the idea of this dish is to serve it sliced. So the capers and the walnut sauce, as you can see, there is like little bit of capers still hanging around there. It's really done quite roughly. Yeah. I wanted the people to chew into a caper every now and again. So I don't want them cut too perfectly, then they don't understand.
It's sort of the consistency, really like a kind of rough pesto, isn't it? Like a
that's what it is—a rough pesto, but like a little bit more structured than a pesto, because clearly you don't have any greenery. The two things have got a very good texture in themselves. So the sauce goes spread underneath of the plate. Then the Swiss chard goes in the middle. The fish gets scalloped and put all on top of it. Touch of olive oil and a little bit of salad and some of the capers berry. Capers berry, now they are available everywhere in England, even in supermarket, you got them. Okay, I'm happy with that. Must have been in it for 4 minutes, 5 minutes. There you are. That's a nice piece of fish. I'm gonna have to leave it there, and we're gonna leave it to rest for a minute.
So you've just covered it. Over. You could wrap it in foil or something.
Wrap it in the foil, but you know, if it's too tight, then it's not very good. I like it to be a bit loose like that, then it can still breathe, you know? If you tight it up, then it steams it too hard, and that's not what you want.
You don't want it to carry on cooking, do you?
No, you don't. That's the main thing.
So the chard, which has already been blanched, you've just warmed up with a little bit of olive oil.
Just warmed up with a little bit of olive oil and butter if you want, but I think olive oil is much better for this recipe. Okay? I'm going to add a little bit of water and...
You're taking juice from the fish.
Can you see those juices there? Yeah, that's what you want.
So you've just thinned the sauce with a little bit from the fish and a little bit of water.
It thins and it whitens up as well.
Really good.
So it's two very simple flavors, but you know, I really think that they really do match each other. And the graceful and sweetness of the fish, I liked these two ingredients sort of fighting underneath, you know. Okay, what are we going to do? I'm going to put... I usually, in the kitchen, we use 3 spoons. You know, everything is calculated down there. So 3 spoonful of sauce for each dish.
So you spoon the sauce into... it's like a soup plate, isn't it?
Okay, then we get the warm-up leaf. Okay, a couple of the stalk around. There you are. This is delicious, you know. Don't lose these. This is
the juice from the monkfish.
Of the fish, yeah. Never lose that.
Just pour that back on top of the sauce, just a little bit of juice that's come out.
What we're going to do is that we're going to cut it in scallops. You can see that it's cooked all the way through. There is a color all the way, the same sort of like ivory color going all the way through the fish. If it was a little bit undercooked at that point, you will notice, you know, then it's much whiter. Okay, but I'd rather have it a little bit undercooked and then pass it again in the oven. Then,
so you cut it into slices. Slice.
About a
centimeter thick, yeah, half an inch, and there we are. We placed them down on a plate like that.
So you've stacked them on top the Swiss chard and the sauce. Yeah. So the Swiss chard's actually completely hidden.
Yeah, it's underneath, and when you cut through, you should cut through and get a bit of the Swiss chard and a little bit of the. Okay, got a little bit of the famous vinaigrette that we did also the other time, which is one part of water, 3 parts of olive oil, and 2 parts of vinegar. White wine vinegar would be fantastic, or even not too strong, definitely not balsamic vinegar. And put the capers together with the salad.
So what leaves have you got there in the salad?
I just rock it. I like to have something spicy all the time, so I use either like a rocket or like a mustard salad as well. So I want something like really nice and sharp.
So you just pop the rocket on top of the monkfish slices, and then we've got the caper berries going in.
So that's in the heat of the fish in itself will then allow you to have will almost wilt the actual salad. And then a touch of oil on the fish as it goes. And this is a monkfish with caper sauce, Swiss chard, walnut and caper sauce. Simple, and I think it's very good.
When you pick it up, you get a big bit of Swiss chard and the fish and a hit of the sauce as well. So hopefully it's going to be lovely, I'm sure it will. And it is, it's really good. Okay. I think I want to eat all of that instantly. It's really, really lovely. You get a really great flavour of walnuts coming through on the capers and everything. It's brilliant. So thank you very much, Giorgio. And we'll be back next month with another exclusive recipe.
Bye-bye.
Your mum said eat your greens. We say, what about your reds, your purples, your bright yellows, your ultramarines, your vermilions?